Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be here this morning. It is my joy to be with you all. And we also have English service in our church, and we have probably about half of what you have here. And we also thank God for our youth. Let me tell you just a short story about them. Up to about 2 years ago, there were like about three or four youth coming to church. And they were just about to leave the church because they said that they would probably learn it from somewhere else. Actually, a number of youth said that, but they turned out not really going to other churches, but they just disappear. Well, God's grace on our youth, four or five of them at the time, God spoke to them, because I think that, it was me and then also another person sharing to our youth every Sunday. And it just became just like a duty for me to share to them, because I don't really see growth, but the number keeps shrinking. So it's just out of duty, every Sunday I have to preach, and I preach. I have to share, I have to share, I share. But God actually worked in that heart at the point that, actually I call desperation for me, and God began to work. And He spoke to our youth, and He reminded them. They came back and they shared with me. One day they said, "Amukshu, I want to share with you. When I was Nidong, children, the youth continuing in the church helped us. We knew about God because of, the youth continuing before. So we have now an obligation to rename. God called us to help the children now. So just only four or five of them. God spoke to all of them that way. And they began helping, going to church, helping the children. And from there, we begin, but God began building up our youth, and we have about 25 or so on Sunday from four or five. So just want to praise God for many of you who come here every Sunday seeking to worship and seeking the Word of God. So it is my joy to be here with you this morning. Pastor T mentioned to me when he called and asked me to come and speak on Sunday morning. He said that the church is currently going through a mini series called the Christian Duties the duties of godly children of God, I think. Okay, yeah. And I mentioned to him, I've been learning through the book of Ephesians. And I learned, God really taught me when I studied the book of Ephesians, and I would like to share what I learned when I come. So what I want to share with you, it's about God's will. Knowing God's will. And not only knowing God's will, but doing His will. Before we all learn the Word of God together, I want to pray and ask God to lead us at this time. Father God, we want to give thanks to You because You are our Creator. You are our God. The love that you have for us draw us to you. So we just want to give thanks to you. Thank you for your word this morning in Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labors in vain. So we ask you this morning, unless the Lord speak, the speaker speak in vain. Guide us and lead us and teach us, O Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Well, I learned from the book of Ephesians, and I want to share with you this morning. I'll give you a brief introduction to, a quick introduction to the book of Colossians. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the Christian in Colossae. Paul made a number of journeys, we know, and he planted a number of churches. He planted the church in Ephesus, in Philippi, in Thessalonica, but Paul did not build or establish the church in Colossae. The church in the town of Colossae was planted, actually, by Epaphras. In chapter 1, verse 7, Paul has a reference to Epaphras. And Epaphras founded the church, and he came to Paul and volunteered himself to stay with Paul while Paul was a prisoner in Rome to help Paul. Now, from the letter, we see that this church, the church in Colossae, was a good church. When we compare to the church in Corinth, the church in Colossae was a good church. We see no division, no infighting, no wanton living. And we see that the church, Paul mentioned that the church actually was bearing fruit and growing. So it is a good church. We want to be like that church. So Paul praised the Colossians for these things. But then Paul said that, well, I now write you this letter. I write you this letter because of the number of threats that I heard. So that was the reason that Paul wrote to the Colossians. The threats, okay, there are mainly three threats. Number one, it is Gnosticism. From the word gnosis, that is know or knowledge. The people with this belief said that faith in Jesus is good. Faith in Jesus is right. But there are more to it in order to be advanced in the kingdom of God. And they expounded a secret knowledge that Christians in Colossae need to know. And then in addition to Gnosticism, it's also a hard-to-shake Jewish tradition. Well, Christianity grew out of Judaism. And Judaism for so many years, thousands of years. We have to work, we have to obey the commandment, we have to do this, do that. And the one thing that is really clear in the book, the letter to the Colossians, is circumcision. Well, you become Christian, good, well, but remember the Old Testament, God said that we have to be circumcised. Okay? Do that in order for you to be right with God. And then, of course, there are Eastern philosophies. The church in Colossae was in Asia Minor, that is the present-day Turkey. So lots of philosophy from the East. So with all of those things came to Christian in Colossae, and they began to wonder about what they heard, what they learned about God, about Jesus. So with all of these things, Paul wrote to them. And in this letter, Paul said that, no, what you learned, what you heard from us preaching to you, from our brother Epaphras, to stand firm and receive what you have learned and build it from there. Not anything more, not anything less. And here in this book, Paul said that Jesus is God. He is supreme. Jesus is supreme over all creation. And again, Colossians chapter 1, along with John chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1, we know all of the marvelous deity, the exposition of the deity of Jesus Christ. We really have a firm understanding that Jesus is God. I think in these three chapters, John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, and Colossians chapter 1. Okay, and then Paul continued to say that, well, Jesus is God himself, and you have been reconciled to God through Jesus. So rejoice in this. What you learn, what you hear, rejoice in what you learn and what you hear, and build it from there. Do not turn around, you know, to listen and then be persuaded by the Gnostic. Do not take on the burden of you have to do this, do that. You should not do this and do other thing on Sabbath day. You have to be circumcised and all of that. Focus on Jesus. He is God. He has supremacy over all creation. So I learned in here what I learned from this. With all the threats coming to the people in Colossae, Paul said, focus on Jesus and focus on him alone. I think it's the same thing with us today. Living in this country, in this society, we have so many things coming to us. Make us doubt. I'm sure that you doubt. You doubt that, is there a God? And then the next question, I think that, you know, without the real understanding of who Jesus is, some of us also question, is Jesus God? And then all other things coming at us, pulling us away from the faith that we have. So living in a society like this, I think it's very similar to the people in Colossae about 2,000 years ago. The focus is God. The focus is Jesus, and Jesus is God. And let me begin in sharing with you the main thing that Paul wrote about to help the Colossians to stand in the middle of all of those things around them. Stand firm. Okay, you open with me to Colossians chapter 1. Verses 9 through 14. Paul said this, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. Of all things, with all the threat, all the danger coming to the church," and Paul said that, look, we pray for you that you will be filled with the knowledge of His will, of God's will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loved, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." Okay. Only these five verses here. There are three things that stand out, and I want to go over and share with you these three things. And number one, in verse 9, Paul said he prayed for the Colossians that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Okay, so number one, life, with all of the things coming to you, our life should be filled with God's will in order for us to stand firm and to continue to grow in Him. Life filled with God's will. So Paul said to the Colossians, don't go around, don't look for other things, focus on Jesus and be filled with Jesus' will, Paul called God's will. When we look closely in the book here, we see the whole situation. We see that the Colossians was afraid of God's will. They're afraid of God's will. Because of that, they were susceptible to all the threat coming to them. And I think the same thing with us. Many of us were afraid of God's will. And if so, if you are afraid of God's will for you, you are susceptible to all the things coming at you. You'll be swayed one day this way, swayed to the other way. You'll be tempted by many things. The only thing, because you don't really know God, because you afraid of His will. Okay. You're growing up, okay. You study. You begin to study. You go to high school and then begin preparing for college. And I heard, talking to parents. And I saw parents, try to push their children, push them to become doctors and dentists and engineers, business, people. And they tell their children to purchase these things, okay? Because these will give you a firm future. And let me ask you, what is your plan
What is your plan?
You're thinking of something to study when you go to college? You're thinking of something when you begin to go out and look for a job? You ask God. You ask God what His will for you. You listen to Him. Well, the reason many people, many of us, and I, you know, I am included from time to time, if we're not careful, we are afraid of God's will. And the thing that I heard from people that I talk to, you are afraid of God's will because what if? You know, the word, what if? If I want to listen to God and say, you know, if God called me to be a pastor or a missionary or something, and what if? Or what if God called me to do something and I don't feel like it? What if? You see, we doubt God's will. We aren't sure that God's will is good for us. And that is the reason many of us just keep studying and pushing ourselves hard to get into good school. Well, again, in our mind, we think that the sure way, the promising way for us is the career that we see other people, we see people, you know, around us. That's a sure way to have a promising life, and we invested our life in that, and then we as Christians, without any seeking of God's will. Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you have on your outline here. Again, the word of Paul, share with people, the Christian in Rome. He said that do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you be able to test and approve what God's will is. And he said God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. Let us stand firm in this. Stand firm in Jesus, and Jesus is God Himself, and everything of God is good, is promising. We think of a, you know, a stable career. Oh, that's promising. Become a doctor, a dentist, and, you know, a number of other profession. It's promising. No. God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect for us. Good and pleasing. That is promising. Very promising. We don't believe it. That's the reason we just kept on our way. God's will is perfect. It's good and pleasing and perfect. Perfect, it is right. It is right for me. So for that reason, we, as the people of God, we want to seek His will. And His word, the Bible, contains His will for us. And that is why I am glad that I heard that, you know, church in Anaheim, spend time. Bible study is the key thing. That is wonderful. You are digging into God's will, and you will see, and I think that you, probably many of you have already seen your friend. You compare your friend and you. Along the way, you see the difference. Just because you are faithful to reading, to learning the Word of God, to seek His, to learn His will for yourself. All right. Now, so our life as people of God should be life filled with His will. But again, the word, the key word here is not just only His will, but be filled. The word filled means control. You have been filled, you have been controlled. You're filled by something, you're controlled by something, with that something. For example, a person filled with rage, with anger, that person is controlled by anger, by rage, right? And Paul said that be filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And here, be filled with the will of God. So let our life be controlled by the will of God. And that's what it is. Not just know the Word of God, but being filled, being controlled by the Word of God, by the will of God. So let the will of God control us in every aspect of life, in every happening. Even when hurt coming at us, let God's will control, be temperate when things come to us, instead of rage, instead of anger, because the will of God control us. Even when it is hurt, even when you and I don't understand, there are things that happen to us. I think that along the way you would see there are things happen to you and you don't understand why. Look, I am here every Sunday. I study the Word of God, and why all of this happened to me. You don't understand. Many times I don't understand why things happen to me. All of us, one day, one way or another, we're faced with it. Okay? And that is the case of Job that I want to share with you, the story of Job. Job, chapter 1, describes him as the greatest or the wealthiest man of all people in the East. And what happened to him? Okay? So he's the greatest, the wealthiest. He is the Bill Gates, or he is the Warren Buffett of the day, today. Okay? Wealthiest of all the people of the East. Okay? Not only so, but he is a godly man. Job is a godly man. We saw that, right? Okay? Now, it happened like this. One day, Satan came to God, and God said, Satan, look at my servant Job. How faithful he is. Satan said that, well, he fear you, he respect you, he worship you, not for nothing. Well, look at, all of the things that you've given to him, his wealth, his health, he has beautiful children. Because of those things, you build hedges around him. Okay, with those things, and that is the reason he worshiped. Take them away. And he will curse you to your face. That's what Satan told God. And God said, well, I let you do it to him. But don't touch his life. God permit this happen to a godly person and that's what Satan did, and we follow this story. We know that in one day all of the billion and billion dollars just disappear, gone, just in 24 hours. And then not only so, all of his children, not just, one or two, but 10 of his children die on the same day of a disaster. Job didn't understand any of this. Why? Look at me. I love you, God. I worship you. You are first. Why? Why? You got to, I mean, you continue on, you would see, you read the story of Job, you continue, you see, Job didn't understand. But he did not understand all of that, but he knelt down when he heard all of those news. And he said, you know, what we just sang earlier, you give, Lord, you take away, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, that's what Job said. Well, Satan came and God said, well, you did all of that. Look at Job. Satan said, well, if you don't hurt him physically, take away his health. Okay? He will curse you. Satan was emphatic to God. And God said, well, I allowed you, okay, to touch his body, but not his life. And God permitted Satan to take Job's life. And he came down with boil all over from head to toes. His wife came and looked at him and say, look, from the richest person of the whole area, it's all gone. And now, look at you. Are you still faithful to God? Curse him and die. Okay. And Job said, no, don't be foolish. God give, God take. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God continued to stand, even though firm in God, even though he didn't understand. Okay? So that's the story of Job. Now, continue on, you know, the book of Job. It's a dialogue between Job and his three friends. His three friends are accusing him. You must have done something really bad to have all of this happen to you. Job complaining, God, vindicate me. What's wrong? Let me know, God. I want to know, God. And he just keep asking God. It's not fair that I don't know. So he keep asking God, you know. And then it came to the end of the book of Job. God told Job, let me ask you, where were you when I created the universe? Where were you when I placed the stars in their places? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world, of the earth? And by the way, that helped us to see, God said this for us today to look and see. Earth wasn't on a foundation. On a physical foundation that we see, we feel. But it's his hand. Job, tell me. Counsel me. How to do all of this, Job? And you want to know? And then God asked Job, look at all the animals. Talk about all the wonderful animals. And tell me, Job. You know, after all of this, Job, God didn't really give, actually didn't give Job an answer. But God showed his greatness to Job. And Job began to come to his understanding more about God. And you know what he said? You open your book to the book of Job, chapter 42, that's the last chapter of the book. Okay, so after, you know, the interaction with God, and God asked him, you know, all of these questions, where were you? Can you counsel me, Job, and all of that? Here, Job replied to the Lord, chapter 20, 42, verses 1 through 6. Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand. Job began to say, oh, I spoke of things I didn't understand. How great you are. And I kept complaining. To us, we see that, you know, Job, you know, the person of Job's caliber has the right to complain. I mean, you know, we complain many times. But look at here. Job said that, I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, that's God said, okay, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears have heard of you. That's what God said. I mean, that's what Job said. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. God opened his eyes to know God, to see him in his greatness. And here, this is what Job said. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Job repented in dust and ashes. What is that? Because he was in dust, he was in ash to soothe his pain from the boils. Okay? So he got ash cover him. It means in here, it says that I repent in dust and in ash. Even in the suffering, all of this pain here that I have now, God forgive me, I repent. Because I know how great my God is, and I know his will, therefore, is good, is pleasing, and he's perfect for me. And that's what Job came to understand. And that story of Job, when I learned, you know, life be filled with God's will. Filled with God's will even when it is difficult. And ask God to guide us and learn just the way that Job learned. And number two, the second thing that we see that Paul counteracting all the threats coming to the Colossians, be filled with God's will. And number two, live to please God in every way. Verse 10, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. We pray this in order that you live a life worthy of the Lord. Right. Paul's prayer. But actually, the observation we see in here is actually, it's God's command for us, his people, to live life pleasing to him. Filled with God's will, and then live a life pleasing to God. We see that the transition in this prayer, Paul made the transition from knowledge, fill yourself with the will of God. Knowledge, okay, and then to obedience. From learning of God's will, moving to living that will of God in life. And that's what it is. The danger for us today is that we study and we know more about the Bible, but we could become, all of what we learn could become just head knowledge for us. Life in many areas of ours remain unchanged. Did the will of God in your life change you? The key word here is live to please God in every way. As Paul prayed, and actually that's God's command, please Him in every way. We all have areas that God will continue to change us. And just talking about, you know, living in a Christian environment, God continued to change us with our respect for leadership, with respect for others around us, with teamwork, with submission, with humbleness. God continued to change us. He wanted to change us. Well, we say, well, we please Him. We are here in church, you know, 2 or 3 hours on Sunday. And even more, we work. We're in a choir. We work in the kitchen. We go and witness and tell other people about God. But let me ask you, it is very tempting for us when we do all of those things and we look around, we do more than many people, even most people. But the question is, do you live a life pleasing to Him? Please God in every way, please Him in hard, in difficult, in unbearable situation, in unfair treatment, in hurt done to you. You live a life pleasing to God when you face with hard to please people, with people who are insensitive to you. Very difficult in this area. I have a choice. I am hurt. I have to react. But God says here, please Him in every way. In those, I think, please God in every way, it says that please God in hard, in difficult, in unbearable situation. We face with these things all the time. Does God's will influence you in how you react to these things in your life? Not just the knowledge filled with God's will, but from the knowledge, they're moving on to living. So the question I think that we need to ask, all of us need to ask, have I changed? Has God changed me recently? Because we are in church, we do Bible study and involved in all the church work. But God actually wants to prepare a heart knowing Him, acknowledge Him, having Him first, meaning that His will first. From that heart, then, out of that, that's the word. Not the other way around. Continue to listen to Him when it is difficult, when it is hard. Please Him in every way. It took Joseph how many years? 13 years. In that 13 years, he faced one difficult situation to the next. Been unfair all away, along the way. He is the one who what? Listened to God's will. He's filled, understand of who God is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then things came to him. He asked God, guide me. Now I am away from home, sold by my brothers, and now, you know, I, before in my father's house, I didn't do anything, didn't touch the Vietnamese term. Không đụng đến ngón tay, don't even my finger, didn't touch on anything, didn't mean that, didn't have to do anything. And now I am a slave doing all of the menial work.
for a foreigner that I despise. God, your will for me in this situation. You see, Joseph, I mean, you know, without saying very, you know, without specifically stating that in the scripture, but we see his life. It has to be a life of listening to God. Guide me, lead me in how to do, because my nature, my flesh nature, is to fill with anger, anger with my brothers, and anger with my boss. I think that he's probably Potiphar. His boss was unfair to him. He pleased God. All of those 13 years, after one thing after another, he just kept listening, and walking in the will of God, 13 years. And I don't think that it stops at 13 years when Job was finally, God lifted him up and he became the prime minister of the top nation of the world at the time. He continued to listen, but this story tells us, listen to God. Let God change us every day, every difficult. The difficult thing happens. Challenging happen, things happening to us is the opportunity for us to look for God's will. And then when we look for God's will, we do God's will, and we stand firm in God's will, what happens? God's will is good, is pleasing, is perfect for Lot, for Job, for Joseph, and for all of us who put our trust in the Lord and look at Job's life. Okay? In God's time, he restored Job. Job see the hands of God on his life. The same with Joseph, and that would bring me to point number three. Okay, point number three is actually an encouragement in verse 11 and first part of chapter 12. Paul said that we're filled with the knowledge of God, and then of God's will, and then live pleasing to Him in every way. And then verse 11, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. The life of his children is the life that he would do his work on us. That is the encouragement that, you know, after telling people of Ephesians, of the Colossians, filled with God's will, please him in every way. Okay, but look, okay, his hand be on you. Okay, so look for God. Our walk with God, we got the first two, but we need to also affirm ourselves with the word of God to tell us to look, to wait for God's strength. Look to him for strength, because he will do it. He will show it to us. But we may have to suffer. God tell us to stand firm and act in a temperate way, in a God-controlled way. And just continue. It's hard, it's difficult, it's tedious. You didn't see any result, and sometimes we just want to give up sometimes. But look at Job, look at Joseph. In his time, we will see God's hand in us in a big way. The more the difficulty that you are facing and you seek to choose to walk in God's way, the greater you and I will see his work. That is the story of Job, the story of Joseph. So we just want to thank God for who he is. Our God is a living God. meaning that he would do work, his work in our life. But the question remains, is your life filled with his will? What do? You ask him. Make a habit of asking him everything in your life, from your study, you are growing up, from a person that God will bring to your life, you live together. Ask for your God's will. Work with people you see it is difficult. Ask for God's will. Stand firm, walk in it. Please God in every way, and then be assured that his strength is for you, for me. Let us pray. Father, we want to give thanks to you. Had it not your word, we could not continue. It's all from you. You called us. You continue to guide us and lead us and encourage us with your work, and also the work that you do in our life to show your graciousness to us. Father, help us to lift you up, doing your will. Live a life pleasing to you, Father. And we thank you. Thank you for the promise that being with us all the way. Thank you for the story of Joseph and many others. You always there with them in your time. So I pray that you give us the wisdom to know that your will is good and perfect and pleasing to us, and we stand firm in it. And I pray, Father, encourage us with your work in our life. We continue on, hanging on in you more and more each day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.